Welcome to Gold Star Classroom, the podcast where our panelists go back to school. We'll grade them on their answers to a variety of general knowledge and trivia questions. They don't know what we're going to ask, and we don't know what they're going to say. The student with the highest grade at the end of the class will win the coveted classroom prize, the Golden Banana. I'm your host and headmaster, Professor Jerry Jaffe. Welcome to today's episode of Gold Star Classroom. I'm your host and headmaster, Dr. Jerry Jaffe, and it's my pleasure to introduce today's class. Sitting on my right is an heterosexual deviant, Jeremy Shear.
Thank you, Jerry.
Good
to be back.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good luck today. Sitting on my left is a woman most likely to subscribe to Zoo Books, Callie Fensel.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Callie. Did I get your name right?
No, yeah, you got it right.
All right, five points to me
yeah.
then. And sitting across from me is a author and comedian, Steve Guy. Steve, say hi to everybody.
Oh, yeah, hello. I forgot I was supposed to respond. I was really excited.
He's an author and comedian, not radio personality and comedian.
No, I was mixed up because there was author comedian and there's comedian author
right.
on this show.
Well, and our,
which one I was.
And our fourth student, sitting across from me on the left, is comedian slash author slash radio personality slash Time Lord, more slashes than Guns N' Roses, Willis Gordon.
Cheers, doctor.
Cheers. Welcome, Willis.
I've only had one slash.
So I've got more than Guns N' Roses.
That's true.
It's an accurate statement.
Yeah.
And so, in today's class, I will be asking you guys a variety of intriguing and entertaining questions. And as any good teacher would, I'll be grading your answers.
Hey, guys, I won the Golden Banana on the last class.
Thank you, Mr. Hugh.
That's
please.
Shout out to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire star, Chris Clem.
He was a star.
He did not want to be a millionaire that night.
I'm still waiting for my Golden Banana to arrive in the mail, Jaffe.
Good. Keep waiting.
I also have a Golden Banana, so I don't want to hear your nonsense.
I also have previously won a Golden Banana.
Uh-oh.
I think I did. Maybe I lost that.
It's a tournament of champions.
Yeah. You stole your prize from Donkey Kong Country.
All right. Let's get this class underway. With a question that I find intriguing, and it's a question you've all heard before in your real lives, but I wonder who knows the answer.
No, I'm not holding.
Minus 10 points to Jeremy. Better luck next time. I'm going to introduce this question with a simple trivia question, and it's going to open a can of worms. Here's the simple trivia question. In our union, we have a state called New Jersey. That state has a state vegetable. What is the state vegetable of New Jersey?
Corn.
We have a vote for corn. I'll give everyone a chance to weigh in before I say anything.
Can anybody else vote the same thing? Or
well, you can, should. But yeah, you know.
Because that sounds right.
If you like the answer corn, you can say you agree with corn.
Terry Shiloh is Florida's state vegetable. let's see. Tomato.
I'll say potato.
Corn, potato,
yeah.
Tomato. Willis,
yeah.
Steve, how
tomato's
do you want to
tomato's not a vegetable, you monster.
Let's go with asparagus.
Oh.
We're going to go wild.
Okay, we have a vote for asparagus, potato. Jeremy said tomato. Willis said
Jeremy said corn.
You said tomato.
And you
criticized his answer.
Yes.
Tomatoes
yeah.
are fruits. You said corn. And the correct answer for the question, New Jersey state vegetable, is the tomato.
What?
I am a monster.
So is all of New Jersey.
Yes, I was going to say, is Willis the monster or is the state legislature of New Jersey a monster?
I also think of tomato as a fruit.
Well, that is...
But it's in V8, which is a vegetable juice.
Drink, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is the question I want to ask you. The difference, is tomato a fruit or a vegetable?
It's a fruit.
It's a fruit.
It has seeds on the inside.
That's what I always
but
thought.
But so do peppers.
Strawberries have seeds on the inside.
I thought, I don't know.
Peppers also have seeds on the inside, and they are vegetables. So it's very confusing.
There are different ways to define the words fruit and vegetable. The botanical, common botanical definition of fruit is close to what Jeremy just said.
But it's because seeds are reproductive organs. They say the ovary of a flowering plant. So the question would be, is the tomato the ovary of a flowering plant? I will say the culinary definition, such that chefs might commonly use for fruit, is any edible part of a plant that has a sweet flavor. It doesn't matter if there's seeds or no seeds.
Berry.
White.
I think it's a berry.
Metal. Yeah, there's plenty of things with a sweet flavor. They're not necessarily...
Freddie Mercury.
This doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't. You know the culinary definition of the word vegetable?
Vegetables shouldn't have ovaries or fruits, whatever. Well, right? That's weird.
The non-reproductive organs.
Food having sex.
Oh, so that's why a pepper is a vegetable, because it's the non-reproductive organ that you eat.
I'm not sure, because it does have seeds in it. And I don't have an analysis of every single vegetable that we might mention now.
I'm just going with the generalities.
Well, that's what it says in the men's room at the bus station.
I've got ovaries.
Yes, vegetable
seed.
We can make one real quick.
Please call. However, there is a legal definition of whether or not a tomato, specifically a tomato, is a fruit or vegetable.
So like our government created that definition?
In 1893.
They don't stand by anything they say. I'm not going to believe this.
In 1893, the Supreme Court decided.
Had nothing else to do.
As well,
not in 1893.
There were no black people on that Supreme Court.
No, there weren't.
Nix versus Hedden.
What'd you say?
The reason it was a Supreme Court case has to do with tariffs and taxes. Should tomatoes be taxed as a fruit or as a vegetable?
What's the difference tax-wise?
Well, yeah. In 1893, there was a difference.
By how much?
What was it?
Like by a factor of two. Like the taxes would be twice as high one way or the other.
Oh,
so,
not like 2 cents, but like twice as high.
Yes.
That's insane.
Right. Correct.
Which was more expensive?
So the vegetables were more expensive.
Because were they rarer?
Vegetables are just more essential to, I guess.
That's why? Is that a supply demand thing?
There were no candy. There was only fruit. So
I thought there was penny candy.
Penny candy is.
There was cocaine.
Raisins were the only candy they had.
Like,
that's why that time sucked.
Those giant lollipops.
That's some candy. This is just raisins.
No,
they
didn't
have fruit, which is candy.
I thought
candy.
They were a berry. I didn't think it was fruit or vegetable.
Nope, it's not the. The Supreme Court ruled it is a vegetable. And that's when New Jersey, in 2005, adopted the tomato as their state vegetable.
This is recent.
It took them a long time to get on the tomato bandwagon.
Yes, it did.
Well, no one else was doing it.
Well, you know what,
so much better than their tomatoes.
You know what their state like slogan is,
corn
right?
Tomatoes.
Nickname, the state nickname of New Jersey.
It's the Garden State.
It's the Garden State.
Right.
So they wanted to have, like, tomatoes a common garden vegetable.
But they have an entire garden.
Yeah, there were other things to pick from.
One specific one, yeah.
Zach Braff wasn't going to do it, so.
No, he was not.
Bruce Springsteen wasn't going
to. I do want to add, just as a footnote, this is like related just because of the oddness of the decision, like the Supreme Court ruling on what a fruit or vegetable is.
Yeah.
In, let me make sure I say the correct year, 2003, U.S. law was called on to distinguish whether or not toys from fantasy movies, like Lord of the Rings or Star Wars, are dolls because they are taxed differently than toys.
Oh. I thought dolls was a size thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's a plush. I feel like if it's like
you can go to bed with it comfortably.
Yeah. If it's hard plastic, it's an action figure.
Well, Barbie is a doll technically. But she's taller.
But G.I. Joe's an action figure.
I do want to say this went not to the U.S. Supreme Court, but to the U.S. Court of International Trade.
Sounds serious.
It's too much stuff is made in China.
In particular, what was being argued over were action figures from X-Men and Fantastic Four.
Oh, Chris Clem is clearly on the wrong podcast right now.
Well, that's why I managed it that way with Chris and Willis. And they ruled that those action figures are not dolls because they are, any guesses? Not action, actually. The action part of it is not...
They're toy.
Collectors?
Not toys.
They have parts that move.
Bendable parts.
Outside of the
They have accessories?
Legs.
They are non-human creatures.
Okay. The hell?
Thing or
mutants.
The mutants.
That's the difference.
That's
dolls must be human. So is G.I.
Joe's are dolls? I guess.
I believe that G.I. Joe would be considered dolls.
The old G.I. Joe's. It's
definitely.
No way. The guy with the massive.
G.I. Joe's are dolls, sweetie.
And I will say the reason the decision's important is because all of those action figures that are now considered non-human creatures are taxed at half the rate as traditional dolls are.
G.I. Joe with the lucky strike that's the size of his torso.
Hey, I try to make it part of my teaching to build up the self-esteem of all of my students, and I have here a list of 101 random ways to praise children, and I'd just like to say to you guys, you're catching on.
Ooh.
Fantastic.
I don't feel better.
That didn't help your self-esteem in any way?
I'm the only one who's gotten points so far.
If you want to help my self-esteem...
Oh, that's right.
He's got like 10,000.
Line it up.
Yeah, I got like a bajillion points, he said.
Well, it's for not having the right answer to the question.
Because he corrected something.
Yeah.
He caught a...
The system is fixed.
I busted the teacher.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I have found if you really want to be right in the future, you have to be willing to admit you were wrong in the past. That's a Jerry original, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
I was wrong about Jerry originals.
Why did somebody in New Jersey once shout out over the radio, "Oh, the humanity"?
The Hindenburg crashed.
The Hindenburg crashed. That's right. When did the Hindenburg crash?
Christ,
no looking up answers on your telephone, Mr. Willis.
My dad is off.
It is in the 1900s?
1934.
You are very close, sir.
1936.
I was going to say
35.
It is 37, but I'm going to give partial credit to Jeremy for being so close on his guess.
Look at that.
In fact, the Hindenburg Zeppelin was itself the prize of the Nazis.
Yes.
It was their biggest airship, and it was sort of going on around the world, aren't Nazis cool tour.
To be fair,
it was right
that's
between
not
World
really
World
their
World II,
prize. That would have to be their methods of extermination. I think that would be the prize.
That certainly was their most famous work, but I simply meant in 1937, the Zeppelin was going on around the world tour as a PR bump that the socialist state of Germany was trying to.
It was like the Nazi Goodyear blimp.
Hey,
with hydrogen.
Yeah,
it was. Hey,
that's a smart move. Yeah.
We put Snoopy on something, and they put.
Was considered. Those Zeppelins were also called flying machines and airships, and it was considered the largest airship by volume. But how big was it? How long was? Any idea how long these?
Gargantuan's a good guess.
It was.
For airships, it was gargantuan. That's not wrong. I have the answer here in both meters and feet. 1,000 feet? How long was the Hindenburg?
1,300 feet.
I'm going to say 4,000 feet.
I'll say 1,500.
Yeah. It was gargantuan, the largest class of flying machine. You all kind of did over...
700 feet.
Overextend. 800 feet.
Ah,
also known as 245 meters. Still, that's several football fields
in
length. Yes, but sometimes it seems that way, doesn't it?
I know how it crashed, too.
I'm going to ask that in a minute, but I want to ask one more question about... Again, there's dimensions and technical specs, and I don't really care either. But there is one other size-related question I would like to ask.
It's always about the size.
I know it is. That's why everybody overestimated the size of theirs. What was the size of the crew? Because crew size is an indication of the airship size.
Average to medium t-shirts.
Probably.
Let's see.
I'm going to say hefty.
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 Well, how many people were on the Hindenburg when it crashed? That's crew and passengers, because it was a passenger liner.
When it actually crashed, or did people? Are we counting people who jumped out? Or?
Well, at the time of the accident.
437.
I'll say 300.
Five.
Jeremy's guess is closer, by the way.
319.
I didn't think there were that many people.
100. 97 is the exact count of people on. A third of whom... were passengers, and about 60 were crewmen. And again, a crew of 60 for an airship is a lot. So that's another indicator of how
you... Indiana Jones and his dad were behind that.
No ticket.
Correct, correct.
Somewhere there is a steampunk kid crying over the Hindenburg.
And that kid loses 10 points.
Could.
He really liked the new show.
How many fatalities were there in the Hindenburg disaster?
17.
There was 19. 97 people?
Yeah.
I don't know, 97, not 97, I guess.
No, there were more survivors than fatalities, I guess. So no, there were definitively. I don't know how you want to feel about 20. That.
27.
I'm going to say 15.
It was 35 fatalities. But there was a 36th fatality. Someone on the ground was also killed.
Well, that was their fault for staying
yeah.
there.
Yeah, you didn't see that one coming? Well,
it was actually...
You couldn't get out of the way of that?
That's like Charlize Theron at the end of Prometheus. Like, get out of the way of that thing. What's the matter with you?
It's clearly coming for
right.
you.
Right.
The
just sneak up on you.
The mystery
yeah.
of its actual demise has never been fully solved.
No, I saw a documentary on this. There was a guy with a rocket pack, maybe? And they were all fighting him for it, and he right? jumped up, and he was in there, and there was a piece of bubble gum on it. The bubble gum fell off. It was leaking gasoline. Which they shot it.
Is this The Rocketeer?
Yeah.
Yes, this is a documentary known as The Rocketeer.
It's true, though. It was true.
There are...
Jennifer Connelly was in it.
Four
I believe it.
Common... I mean, people are familiar with the Hindenburg disaster, either from the Ode to Humanity quote or from the cover of Led Zeppelin albums. There are four common guesses as to what caused it. Forensically speaking or scientifically speaking, it's never been a closed case. But there are four common guesses as to what caused
the
Hindenburg disaster.
Wasn't it powered by hydrogen? Like, wasn't it filled with hydrogen? For sure.
Not the whole thing, but like where people were.
Well, clearly
like that's
about
what
the
was making it.
But,
right.
yes.
Which
yes.
is highly flammable.
Absolutely.
Like, liquid hydrogen is what they use to make rocket fuel.
Like, yes, there was a layer of hydrogen on the outer skin is how it's described.
That's
but
not
there was
smart.
Hydrogen, yes.
Yeah, it's not smart.
Our contemporary airships and blimps don't use hydrogen.
No.
Could that be why?
The hydrogen part of it, though, when you have a fire or explosion, you know, you need an accelerant and a spark. Mm-hmm. So the hydrogen might have been the accelerant, but it's still the mystery.
Well, people were probably smoking
the other
on there, right?
There's no indication that smoking might have been the cause.
Well, they're like in a room.
Yeah. I mean,
although they almost certainly were smoking.
They have 2-foot long cigarettes.
But as you said earlier, Steve, where people would be smoking, there would be no hydrogen or fuels.
Yeah, but if you have one small leak, right, it just comes in there.
As Bruce Springsteen said, you can't start a fire without a spark going back to New Jersey.
Well, one cause
Bill
of
Joel
the
said we didn't
spark
the fire
is now. Static electricity.
Ah.
So there's just building up of static electricity, and the blimp did move through.
Shouldn't have put shag carpet on there.
A storm. Yes. Zapping each other.
Shuffling their feet and tagging each other.
Those tight pants and knots.
Right.
Another type of static is lightning. So whether or not lightning itself might have just struck the skin and then caused a hole and lit up the hydrogen.
Lightning crashes.
Speaking of the Rocketeer and Indiana Jones,
I was
and in fact a movie based on the Hindenburg disaster, one theory is sabotage, that it was in fact
Beastie
sabotage.
Yes.
Correct? That's the theory favored by the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
So sabotage, static, lightning, and the fourth was engine failure.
Thor, perhaps.
How would the engine failure create, like, I thought it blew up in the sky. No?
Yes, but the question is what could have caused the spark that ignited.
So the engine failure would have created a spark?
Sure, depends on how the
Yeah, just failed. Conceivably. I'm just saying it's one of the common hypotheses.
Doesn't right. necessarily mean the engine just shut down. It could have exploded.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
Violent explosion.
That's still an engine failure.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point, Jeremy.
Engines fail when they explode.
Yes. I'm going to throw out one last Hindenburg-related question, but this is for 1,000,000 bonus points because no one will know
Sometimes
the answer.
Sometimes I confuse Hindenburg and Lindbergh.
Yeah.
Who said all the humanity?
Was it Lindbergh?
No.
Explain my confusion. Hitler.
Garrison Keillor.
Who's old enough to have been there.
Strom Thurmond.
No,
this person's name would be lost to history had they not said all the humanity. It was a reporter. He was there reporting on the incident. His name's Herbert Morrison. And
I was going to say Van Morrison.
And you would have been wrong.
Jimmy Olsen.
And this was back in 1937. It was actually a recording. Like, he recorded it. And that broadcast, Oh, the Humanity, the Hindenburg crash.
He was, like, on the radio?
It was, like, on the radio a couple days later. You know, they didn't have, like, live national broadcast.
So he didn't even say it while it was happening.
Well, he said it while it was happening. He was there live reporting it. But it was recorded,
gotcha.
And then that recording is like sent to news outlets.
I see.
And then it's played the next day or two.
On the AP Newswire, Herbert has some things to say.
Oh, the humanity.
It's really weird that people just talk like that in the 30s.
They all did.
Ah!
Hey, look at here, see?
I have some trivia for you about that. Back in those days, recording equipment moved at a different speed. Mm-hmm. And when you play it back now on modern equipment, it's actually playing at the wrong speed, and that's why they sound like that.
Which is why Robert Johnson's records sound faster than they actually are.
So nobody.
That's also why the Keystone Cops like go like.
So we need to remake all these movies.
Penguins
based
on speed.
Upon historical figures. I'm guessing.
That. Laurel and Hardy sounded nothing like that.
I am more curious about these penguins on speed. Yes. Where can I find them?
And any Keystone Cops film. As a famous educator Sidney J. Harris once said, the whole purpose of education is to turn mirrors into windows. We haven't even gotten through the door yet.
Is that about us?
It is kind of about you.
I feel like that was very passive-aggressive.
Like what were we?
A little bit.
Only slightly.
Well, see, I'm trying to encourage my students and motivate them.
You're just confusing us.
Let me ask you this, Steve Guy.
No, there's other people here.
And other students as well.
Yeah, but you're the one mouthing off. So.
Yes. No, he got the million
Emilio
bonus points.
This breakfast club.
Here is a common urban legend. I want to see if anyone knows the answer.
Totally Judd Nelson.
Got my dubage.
You have to be both girls.
Yes. You can take it.
Does
you
that
can
make Anthony Michael Hall?
Wait, what?
The one doesn't have that many lines. You
That's,
can do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I got it.
Ally Sheedy.
Here's your question.
Yeah.
What percentage of your brain do you use? Students?
10.
Or nine? Okay,
10.
Two people
10.
Went straight
9.
To 10.
Well, that's a myth.
9.
Anyway.
20.
And 20, and then someone, Willis, calls it I was a myth.
10% of you only use 10% of your brain is actually a myth. You use most of your brain. I'm just trying to remember the percentage.
Willis, the spirit of Willis's answer is correct. The 10% is a myth. You actually do use. I'm withholding a gold star, however, Willis. Because the percentage you're looking for, which you'll know as soon as I say it, 100%. You use 100% of your brain.
No, this is clearly not true. Because I'm on a lot of drugs. And
well, that's all that's left of your brain, so you're using 100% of it.
Of the remains.
I didn't kill my brain cells, I just activated them differently.
It's a very widespread myth. I came across a survey of neuroscientists, 6% of whom said that people only use 10% of their brain.
Those bastards.
So that's kind of disturbing, isn't it?
I just read a Snapple fact about that the other day, too, and I got that wrong.
What? Well, this podcast in no way endorses Snapple or their facts.
Or the Snapple lady, frankly. She's not funny.
So the question might become, and this is sort of historical and obscure, if we can say the 10% answer is an urban legend and the real answer is 100%, and when you kind of say it out loud, it makes sense, like it's your organ. It consumes a lot of oxygen and blood. You're going to use 100% of it, especially if you're healthy and not on drugs. Where did this crazy myth come from?
Someone's ass.
From someone in New Jersey? Is that where this comes from?
It sounds like the New Jersey State Legislature would be involved.
Chris Christie. I'm going to say Timothy Leary said it to get people to do more acid.
Sounds like it. Ken Casey, maybe?
Is this some sort of scare tactic?
There's an older psychologist from about 100 years ago called William James.
Oh.
And William James...
It's a fancy name.
It's a name of someone you would respect.
Isn't he related to Henry James?
If you said, like, Billy Jimmy, nobody would respect you. But William James. And all William James said...
Henry James is an author.
Come on. Jesus.
10 points for Callie, minus 10 points for Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't worry, Steve.
You're the other author.
He wrote Turn of a Screw.
Yeah. I used my time writing, not reading.
A writer should read and write, Steve. That's Guy.
Said William Faulkner. Boom!
I would like to cite my sources. There's a really great book for those of you who read called 50 Great Myths of Popular Psychology by Scott O. Lilienfeld, where you can get some more information about this and other pop psychology myths. William James simply mused that he felt that people probably only accomplished 10% of the potential of their intellect. But he didn't ever say that you do or don't use 10% of your brain.
What school of psychology was he in?
I don't have that factoid in front of me. Yeah. I was thinking Jungian, but I hate to guess if I don't have the fact in front of me.
Kent State School of Psychology.
We see how that turned out. And then that 10% figure actually gets recycled not only in movies but motivational speakers seem to glob onto it as a meme to spout
which is stupid, because the whole point is to motivate you, like, oh, you should use more than 10% of your brain. But if this 10%, if it indeed was a scientific fact, like that's all you could use,
right,
it doesn't make
sense.
Well,
no, the motivation is you only use 10% of your brain.
It
so
makes,
if we can unlock this 90%,
but
we can get you further.
Actualize your potential.
Right.
But it was a scientific thing that only 10% of yours can be used.
Well,
it's
a scientific thing that the Earth didn't revolve around the sun until somebody said,
well,
hey, wait a minute.
I get that.
All right. I do have one last question. This is one we spent a couple minutes on because it's a basic geography history. You'll know. What was in for the United States? What was the actual 50th state admitted into
New Jersey?
Is it Alaska?
It's not New Jersey.
It's not New Jersey nor Alaska. It's Hawaii.
It's Hawaii. I just said that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Speak up, sir. Me and the microphone didn't hear you.
The microphone would have heard you.
I just wanted to say New Jersey.
When I play back, if you said Hawaii before Jeremy, I'll give you his 10 points.
Fine. How do you spell Hawaii?
H-A-W-A-I-I.
No.
O-B-A-M.
Hawaii.
H-A-W, yeah.
There's an apostrophe.
There's an apostrophe.
Oh, right.
That is true, but I do want to cut Steve some slack, because the Americanized version is also an acceptable spelling. But you
but
are correct.
Aren't they,
yeah, but you know what? That's very ethnocentrist.
Well, they're
so.
American
correct.
Now, because it's the 50th state.
There
what
now.
Year did Hawaii become a state?
1960.
Any other guesses?
1964.
Don't doubt yourself.
Don't doubt myself? Was I close?
I'm not saying.
You're not fair.
It was 1958. No, it was after
was
Pearl Harbor. And after
it was.
Too.
It was
definitely,
the 60s. Definitely after. You are correct.
I think it was
so,
1946.
I haven't cross-checked that fact, but the answer is 1959.
Oh,
yes. So
was
yes.
So close.
So close.
If you would have said Eisenhower, then I would have said 59.
And in 1959, the 49th state was also admitted into the Union.
Alaska.
Alaska. Speak up, Mr. Gordon.
Fine.
Sit in the beginning because of the microphone.
Yes.
Right. You can't be smooth all the time.
Well, yes. Wait a minute.
Well, excuse me.
There we go. That's the kind of
after
volume
is 49th,
we need.
If Alaska's 49th, why is it the last frontier?
Space is the final frontier.
Well,
all
right.
Now, everybody knows.
Because there was still uncharted territory.
If we get New Jersey off the table, that Alaska was the 49th state and Hawaii was the 50th state. But for 10,000 bonus points, what was the 48th state admitted into the Union?
Utah.
California.
Not Utah, not California. I have in front of me the last five states admitted into the Union.
New Mexico.
New Mexico was 47.
Yeah.
Oh.
New Mexico was
Colorado.
47.
Colorado. Oregon?
No.
Montana?
Nope. Wyoming?
North Dakota?
Nope. New Mexico and the 47th and 48th state, which is the one I asked for officially, were both admitted in 19... No guesses?
No. Arizona?
37.
It is Arizona. That's correct. 1912. New Mexico and Arizona both admitted in 1912.
It's too busy with the Titanic then. It was very devastating.
Yes.
I forgot everything else happened.
And just for the sake of completing the list, the 46th state,
Montana.
And I'll only say it was none of the ones you guessed yet, because if you had, I would have said it was on my list of five.
Okay.
Nevada?
Idaho?
Texas?
No.
Iowa?
Nope. Nope. I like...
Can you tell us north?
It's adjacent to Texas.
Oklahoma.
Correct. Yeah. You know what year Oklahoma was admitted as the 46th state?
What year did the musical
1894.
No, we're still in the 1900s, actually.
Okay,
1901.
1907.
Nice.
That really was close.
Nice.
And I thought it was interesting. A, everybody knows Hawaii and Alaska, but nobody really sort of goes back further than that off the top of their head.
Of course not.
And all five of these states
were
1959.
No,
yeah.
No.
We're all in the 1900s, which I think surprises people. And 1959 is pretty recent, like even being after World War II, because people will hear about Pearl Harbor. That's one of the sticking points, right?
Yeah.
Pearl Harbor. I mean, Hawaii was a U.S. possession. It was a U.S.
territory,
base.
Yeah.
But it was not a state. Not that that mitigates the attack, but I just think in people's minds, they hear about the attack on
it's
Pearl
like
Harbor.
Attacking Puerto Rico, no.
Okay. Yes.
Right. Exactly.
Bastards.
Guam. Don't get me started on Guam.
Just somebody bomb Guam, for God's sake.
I love
Everybody
Guam.
Everybody attacks Puerto Rico daily.
Puerto Ricans attack Puerto Rico. I'm talking about other people attacking Puerto Rico.
All right, I'm going to return to my grading book and finalize your grades. But as I do so, I'm going to give you each one more chance for extra credit. We'll go around the class, and anybody has an interesting factoid you'd like to share with the class, now is your opportunity.
Oh, shoot.
Who would like to go first?
Just start over there.
You guys are bastards.
Actually,
is that your fact?
Actually.
Yes.
Here's my fact. You guys are all sons of bitches. Brr! Edit that out.
And you get 100 points. Total accuracy. Steve Guy looks ready to talk, actually.
No, I don't.
Well, I've got a fact. I don't know if it's a fact.
Yeah.
No. Well, just guess. I'll fact check it later.
I don't know if it's official, but somebody in an interview once asked Jimi Hendrix, what's it like to be the greatest guitar player in the world? And he goes, I don't know. You'd have to ask Phil Keaggy of Glass Harp.
Nice.
And I don't know if that's true or not, but I like...
You don't know if he really said it, or you don't know if Phil Keaggy's really the greatest guitarist?
No, Phil Keaggy's amazing. I mean, he's a Jesus freak now, but you know, it's just interesting that, you know, Jimi Hendrix is very humble and
right.
Say something like that.
I'm
if,
a little
if
upset
that's true.
That he didn't say something about Buddy Guy since he stole everything.
All right.
I can't.
Willis, your challenge is to come up with a non-music, non-film-related trivia fact.
Okay.
Steve Guy, are you ready?
Nope. Sure, but I can tell you one.
Tell us one.
Jeremy Shear has tried to kiss me upwards of 7 times. That's a fact. Today.
I will fact check that later.
In total.
Eight.
mine sort of ties into film.
Okay, what's yours?
It sort of ties into film, so I gotta leave it alone.
That's okay. Just don't make it too complicated.
No, it's just... the Robert Downey Jr.'s version of Iron Man.
Sure.
The script, when they were writing the script, trying to figure this out, the original Tony Stark was based on Howard Hughes.
Right.
And that's where Stan Lee came up with the idea. But the new Tony Stark, how are they going to make this guy and what they were going to do?
Right.
So they based him off of Elon Musk, the inventor and the philanthropist who came through. And he actually is in Iron Man 2 in a cameo.
Oh, really? I did not know that cameo.
When they're in, where the hell? What island they're in before they're doing the race thing.
Sure.
He shows up for like 2 seconds and comes out.
Sure.
That man's going to put us on Mars, by the way.
Okay.
Here's a fact that everybody listening already probably figured out. Willis is a dork.
Now, minus 5 points for being mean.
A very well-endowed dork.
You're now like...
I will not
nine.
Be fact-checking that fact. No. All right, Jeremy. Over to you, sir.
All right. I can tell you that Nazi tomatoes have influenced New Jersey tomatoes. To the point where if you want a true American bred tomato, you have to go to Hawaii now.
Those are the Hawaiian skinhead tomatoes.
Oh, yes. I have a fact. The most commonly consumed fruit in America is the banana.
But we're not sure, is it a fruit?
Well,
depends on which definition you use.
That's true.
I'm sure in your next show you will find a Supreme Court decision.
Yeah, declaring the banana fruit.
Just for the sake of time, I'll put this on my website. There's a whole bunch of other fruits and vegetables that were in that same decision. But I didn't go into that. But there are a whole bunch of other fruits and vegetables the Supreme Court has ruled on. All right, so including your extra credit and tallying all your points, the winner of today's classroom prize, the golden banana, is Callie Fensel.
What? I never win anything. This is great.
Well, you kind of haven't won anything here either, but you have won the coveted classroom prize, the golden banana.
This game is rigged.
Is
so,
like,
yes,
is
it is definitely rigged.
Is it tangible?
It's like tangible in your mind.
Oh.
If you use 100%
it's more
of your
an
brain.
Existential prize.
So you just have my golden banana.
Oh.
It remains for me, your teacher, to thank
you. Wait a minute. I didn't mean it like that.
But you said it like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's to thank you, my students. Jeremy, Steve, Willis, Callie,
thanks
for being
thank
in today's class.
Thanks,
Jay.
Thank you.
Gold Star Classroom is written and produced by Jerry Jaffe. Our producer and engineer is Stephen Gutierrez. Original music composed and produced by Jeff Gettert. Mr. Gettert is also our assistant producer. All commentary and opinions expressed by guests of Gold Star Classroom are meant for entertainment purposes only. For Gold Star Classroom, I'm Jerry Jaffe.